risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Hey, thanks for coming out to worship with us here at FBC. I trust you've had a good morning already. We had a good continental breakfast, good fellowship together a little bit ago, and now we come together and worship once again. So thank you, and we just want to reach out to you and encourage you. Trust you'll have a great day today. Trust you've met a few people, and even after the service, don't rush out. Just kind of mingle around a little bit and get to know some folks. And, of course, you're always welcome. Come back again next week and in the weeks to come. Did you ever realize that Sunday is a celebration? Every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection. That's why we worship on Sundays. When Jesus rose from the dead, Christians didn't worship on Saturdays any longer. They worshiped on Sundays because of the resurrection. So that's what we do every week here at FBC. Thank you for choosing to worship with us, and we hope that you will come back every week. You know, we all like to win, don't we? Do we all like to win? Yeah, amen. All right. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say, "I love losing." You know, I play to be defeated. You know, that feeling of being beat up is exhilarating. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that. In fact, even when my kids were little, we would play Candyland. You know, you remember Candyland, and we would play Candyland, and we would play through. And I would land on Queen Frostine, and man, I'd say, "Yeah, Queen Frostine." And one of my kids, I won't mention her name, she would go, "Oh, Daddy, oh." She didn't like to lose, even at that age. So we like to win. When I wrestled, it didn't matter who I wrestled. Did I want to lose? Absolutely not. We talk about the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. We thrive on victory. And so this Easter morning, we celebrate resurrection victory. Several of the songs we sang this morning were songs of victory, of power, of the resurrection. And we rejoice in that. We celebrate the resurrection victory, the literal resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Jesus died. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was nailed to the cross. Nailed to the cross. Hands and feet. And he was pierced in his side. And he died. And he was buried. He was literally buried. That's why we have an empty cross. Because he died, he was buried, but he rose again. Mary Magdalene, she discovered that the tomb was empty on that resurrection Sunday morning. And the angel said to her, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, for he has risen just as he said." She turned around and there he was right before her very eyes. She got so excited, she ran to tell the disciples. The disciples were like, "Really? Oh, I can't hardly believe it." And Peter and John, they ran to the tomb. John outran Peter. He peeks into the tomb. Peter blasts right past him and goes right on into the tomb. And sure enough, Jesus was gone. He has risen just as he said. Wow. A powerful, literal resurrection from the dead. Here's a take-home thought this morning. You take your notes there, or if you can go on to YouVersion, you can follow along. The take-home thought here this morning is the resurrection means victory for those who surrender. It's like, oh, wait a minute. The resurrection means victory for those who surrender? That doesn't seem to make sense. Surrender sounds like defeat. But in relationship to Jesus, surrender is the pathway to victory. The word victory is translated in the New Testament as victory, victor, overcome, overcomer, overcoming. So it's translated several ways. But the Greek word, get this, the Greek word is Nike. In the Greek New Testament, the Greek word for victory is Nike. So, you know, that would be a good label for, like, running shoes or athletic apparel, you know, anyway. But that's where they got it, from the Greek word for victory. In fact, you find it throughout the New Testament. One interesting place is in 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Verse 3 says, "This is love for God, to obey His commands." Do you love God? You want to love God? This is love for God, that verse says. Obey His commands. If you say, "Well, I love God," love here is not just this warm, fuzzy feeling about God on Easter Sunday morning. Love for God is to obey His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." This is the Nike. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Wow, that's an awesome passage. So that's one place that the word victory, the word Nike, is found in the New Testament. Here's another place, and I'd like you to turn here in your Bibles, and that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 57. If you want to study the resurrection, okay, you have the accounts of Jesus rising from the dead in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You have that in the Gospels. But if you want to study the resurrection and what resurrection is all about, 1 Corinthians 15 is just rich in the study of the resurrection. We're just going to look at verses 51 to 57 right now. And Paul is writing, he says, listen. He's kind of wrapping this all up. He says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has clothed itself with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, I want to walk you through this passage, all right? So let's just put our nose in the book and let's look at this, walk through this, and follow me once again as we talk about this passage. Look at verse 54. It says, "When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality." When that happens, in other words, when the resurrection takes place, those words there mean resurrection. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, the mortal with immortality, he's talking about resurrection. He's talking about new life because of being resurrected. When that happens, when resurrection takes place, then the saying that is written, found in Isaiah 25 and verse 8, will come true. Here's the saying: death has been swallowed up in victory. The idea of this phrase is that death has been overcome. Death is defeated. It's overwhelmed. It's swallowed up. It's been absorbed like a whirlpool that sucks everything in and pulls it down. Death has been swallowed up. It has been absorbed in victory. Victory is greater than death. Death equals defeat. You think of the phrase, we're going to fight to the death. If you fight to the death, the person that dies is defeated. Death. Victory is greater than death. Victory is greater. It's complete. There are no vestiges of death. Death can no longer ravage the victor. The victory is complete to the end. So when you surrender to Jesus Christ in salvation, when you recognize that Jesus died on the cross for your sin, He died in your place because of your sin, and you repent. You turn away from your sin and you turn to God in salvation, believing that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for you. And you receive His gift of salvation. When you do that, this passage here indicates security in your salvation. There are no vestiges of death. You can't go back to death anymore. There's victory. So here's the response to this. Look at verse 55. It's kind of a rhetorical question. Where, in light of these truths, where, O death, is your victory? It says that if it's speaking to death as an opponent, like, ha, death, where's your victory? Oh, that's right. You have no victory because you have been defeated. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, next phrase, where, O death, is your sting? Yeah, sting is something that hurts, right? I remember the last time I got stung. This is years ago, but I remember it, man. It was right on the top of my ear. It's like, oh man. Ha, it hurt. You know, Teresa, come in. Get this out of here. You know, and the stinger was still there. And by the way, you don't pinch a stinger with tweezers and pull it out. That puts more poison into your system. You know, you brush it off. And so she's over there, but I remember it to this day. Death, there is a sting in death. In fact, I could not believe this. I watched a news segment yesterday, and they were talking about, I think it was like 10 death row inmates, and I think it was Arkansas. And their execution was stayed for a period of time because their death would cause pain for them. Really? I mean, that's what death does. I mean, there is a sting to death. It does hurt. But here, when it says, death, where is your victory? Where is your sting? The question is like rhetorical because, the sting of death is sin. See that in the verse 56? Because the wages of sin, the payment for your sin and mine, is death. The power of sin is the law. The law, listen to this, the law exposes you for how bad you are. In other words, you can't live up to the law. You have all these, one of the criticisms I hear from people who are investigating Christianity or even struggling with Christianity say, you got all these do's and don'ts. And it's like, man, I just can't keep up with it. That's the point of the law. You can't keep up with it. What the law did in the Old Testament was it showed how bad you and I are. It showed you your need for a Savior, someone to save you from sin. The law exposes sin. I like to turkey hunt. And a couple of years ago, I was out turkey hunting. In fact, opening day's a week from tomorrow. We're getting those any turkey hunters here? Amen. All right. Well, one, anyway. We're going turkey hunting next Monday, all right? Well, I was out turkey hunting, all right? And I was walking to the back of the woods and walking to the back of the property, and I knew I was getting close to the boundary line, but I thought, I think I'm good. So I sit down, and I'm like, and I looked up, and right over there, I saw a boundary line sign, no trespassing. I'm like, ooh. So I get up. I realize I had trespassed. I had gone beyond the boundary line. I'm like, ooh. And so I'm kind of sneaking back, and I turn around and look, and there's this guy standing there going, like, you're on my hunting grounds, buddy. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. See, I didn't realize that I had trespassed until I saw the law. I saw the sign. That's what the law does. And that's what Paul says in Romans chapter 9. He says, once I was alive apart from the law. Man, I was having a great time hunting turkey across. But when I saw the sign, I realized, oh no, I've trespassed. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. Romans chapter 7, verse 10. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. Therefore, death is the result of sin. The power of sin is the law, and death is the result. Romans 5:12 says, whereas by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by that sin. Sin entered into the world, and because of that sin, we all face death. You know, the statistics in death are pretty overwhelming. You know, 100% of us will die, apart from the rapture. But because of sin, we face death. The wages or the payment for sin is death. That's why we need the gospel. That's why we need. So the payment for sin is death. Where, O death, is your sting? The power of sin is the law. The law says because you've sinned, you deserve to die. Verse 57. Look at verse 57. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
See, Jesus Christ gives us the victory through or because of His resurrection. He rose from the dead. John MacArthur says, death left its stinger in Christ. You know, a bee stings you, it leaves its stinger there. Death left its stinger in Christ. If there's a resurrection from the dead, and there is, then death has lost its grip. Death is defeated. Because Jesus rose from the dead, there's a promise of the resurrection for everyone who would believe. If you will believe that He did that for you, that He died in your place. It's called a substitutionary death. He was the substitute for your death. He died for you so that you, if you would believe, would have eternal life, everlasting life. Earlier in this chapter, look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 13. It says, and Paul is writing, he's establishing the importance of the resurrection. He says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. If there's no resurrection for you and me who have believed, then Christ wasn't raised either. Look at verses 16 and 17. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. In other words, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ didn't rise from the dead, then why are we here this morning? There's no reason for us to be. We might as well just go home and forget the whole thing. That's how important the literal resurrection of Jesus from the dead is. It is what this passage, this scripture calls the first fruits. Since He rose from the dead, you and I will rise from the dead if we believe. Wow. That's victory. So again, the take-home thought here. Resurrection means victory for those who would surrender. In other words, there is victory for everyone who believes. If you will believe this, there's victory for you. And that's why we get so excited about that around here at FBC. That's our message. And we want that for you. So here's some implications of this whole point here. And the first one is that victory costs. Victory costs. When I was in wrestling, victory cost me time. I mean, you had practice every day except Sunday. I mean, you know, just every day, sometimes on Saturdays, and we never had it on Sundays back then. But it cost me time. It cost me effort. You couldn't dog it in wrestling. You had to put forth the effort. We had to put time into training. It cost training time. It cost literally blood, sweat, and tears. I'm telling you. Victory costs. I think of wars. Victory costs. It costs resources. I think of the warships right now. They're sending warships into the, you know, North and South Korea area. Over in the Mediterranean Sea, a warship launched those Tomahawk missiles. You talk about cost. One Tomahawk missile costs $1 million. And we launched 59 of them, almost $60 million on a Syrian airstrip. Wouldn't you like to have $60 million in your back pocket right now, you know? In order to defeat the enemy, it costs. In war, it costs personnel, the time, the effort, the training, the paying the personnel, men and women who are in the military service. It costs. It costs lives. victory costs. Anytime there is victory, it costs somebody something. Victory over death cost God the life of His sinless Son, Jesus. Jesus willingly died on the cross. All for the purpose of defeating sin, conquering death, and providing salvation for you and me, if you would just believe. To believe that He did that for you. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death has lost its sting. And interestingly, this victory, the victory of salvation, though it costs God, it doesn't cost you. You could never pay up. You could never earn enough in order to buy your salvation. You could never do enough good things in order to earn salvation. You know, I talk to people. Oftentimes I'll ask the question, maybe I've asked you. If not, I'll ask you this morning, or maybe I'll ask you sometime when we're talking face to face. But oftentimes I'll ask people, let me ask you this question. Are you certain you have eternal life? Are you certain you have eternal life? And 90% of the people will say, well, I hope so. A lot of people that haven't trusted Christ, they'll say, well, I hope so. What are you hoping in? Well, I think I'm pretty good. I think my good outweighs my bad. I mean, you know, I try to say the right things and do the right things. I think my good is good enough. But Scripture says the wages or the payment for sin, any sin, is death. And so the point here is there's no way you could earn enough. That's why we needed someone to save us, to die in your place and mine, to pay that sin debt that you could never pay. You could never become good enough to stand before God. Never. And that's why Jesus died. Now, we say, well, wait a minute. When you surrender, isn't there some cost there? I mean, you give up doing things your way. You give up living selfishly, trying to make it on your own. What you do is you leave your own efforts behind in order to gain that which you could never afford. Victory is available for those who would surrender. And that which you could never afford is that eternal life. You could never earn it. It's a gift. So once you surrender, you gain. You gain victory. And so here's another implication, and that is victory provides benefits. And benefits that far outweigh the surrender. Again, giving up yourself. You sell everything, so to speak. There's an illustration in the Scripture that says you find this pearl of great price. And so you say, oh man, so you go and sell everything so that you can have the pearl of great price. You give it up. So you surrender anything in the past to gain that which you could never earn or deserve. There's profit in victory. When I was in wrestling, for example, you know, and people cheer, and you know, you walk through school, and they're like, good job, Christian, and you say, yeah, you know, that's great, you know. And you're excited, you might win a trophy or whatever it is. You know, if Olympic athletes, when they win, did you know that for every gold that an Olympic athlete wins in the United States, they get $25,000? The USOC, whatever, they will give you, if you win a gold medal at the next Olympics, the United States Olympic Committee, you will get $25,000. Plus, then you get endorsements and the possibility of making money that way and so on. So there's benefits there. If you win a gold for Switzerland, Switzerland will give you $86,000. Russia will give you $135,000. Estonia will give you $138,500. Belarus will give you $150,000. Italy will give you $189,500 if you win a gold for them. Latvia will give you $192,500. Kazakhstan, I don't know if they've ever won one or not, they'll give you $250,000. Azerbaijan will give you $500,000. Malaysia, you might want to move to Malaysia and become an athlete there. They'll give you $600,000. And Singapore will give you $800,000 if you win them a gold medal. Wow, there's some benefit in victory. Now, that's physical victory. But what about spiritual victory? What do you gain in that? What are the benefits? Well, first of all, you overcome Satan. Now, I'm telling you, Satan is alive. Satan is real. He's a real person, and he has many cohorts. Scripture says in 1 John 4:4, you have overcome the evil one. When you come to Christ, you overcome the evil one. You overcome the devil. You also overcome sin. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, we, speaking of those who place their faith and trust in Christ, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? All a result of forgiveness. We have victory over the world, over the flesh, and over the devil because of victory through Jesus Christ. You have victory over Satan. You have victory over sin. You have victory over self. Isn't that where the real challenge is? Because we want to do our own thing, don't we? And we struggle with things like sinful habits, worry, fear, anger, lying, cheating. We struggle with addictions. But because of Jesus' resurrection, there is hope over sin and selfishness. You have the power of God in you, the Holy Spirit of God ministering through His Word to strengthen you, to enable you to do that which you cannot do, and that is to overcome sin and self. You have the power of God to overcome anger. Anybody struggle with anger at times? You have the power of God to overcome that. To overcome with God's help, to replace your anger with that you might have toward an unruly child or an ex or an unreasonable boss. You have the power of God to help you show love to that individual. Show that the love of Jesus, to show that Christ makes a difference. You have the power of God to overcome anxiety in your life. And to show Christ. You have the power of God to overcome sickness. Now, there is healing in the resurrection. We face death in this body. We pray for Jeremy this week. We don't know what God has. We're praying that God would heal him. And there are several others in our congregation going through some really difficult times. I don't know what's going to happen to them. In the physical body, we face death. But in eternal life, in the resurrection, in Revelation 21:4, it says, He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The old order of things has passed away. There is victory over sickness. There is victory over death. Victory over Satan, over sin, over self, over sickness, over death. There's awesome benefits. But not only is there victory over those things, but He also, through victory, enables you, first of all, to have salvation. You are enabled to have this eternal life. Eternal life. Who wouldn't want that? And He has provided that if you would just simply believe. Surrender. I can't do it. I know I'm not perfect. But I believe Jesus died for me. And I repent. I turn from my sinfulness and I turn to You, O God, in salvation. I receive that gift of salvation through Jesus. And so there's the resurrection enables salvation, but Resurrection enables sanctification or growth. In other words, when you come to Christ, you are a part of the family of God. When God looks upon you, the blood of Jesus Christ covers your sin. Doesn't make you perfect. Positionally, it makes you perfect. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. But now you have to start learning the ways of God's family. Learn to live the way He wants you to live. Oftentimes, when someone first comes to Jesus, we call them a baby in Christ. They're a newborn baby. In fact, Scripture uses the term, we're born again. So because we're born again, we're still babies, and we need to learn the ways of God and learn to live like a... Do you have salvation? Yes, you're a child of God, but you need to learn to live like God wants you to live. That's called sanctification or growth. And we have seen victory in the lives of so many people here at FBC. We've seen marriages restored. We've seen relationship issues settled. We've seen lifestyle changes. We've seen growth out of anxiety and fear and worry and anger, addictions. We've seen God do provide great victory over drugs and alcohol, sexual addictions. We've witnessed that here. Why? Because of the resurrection. And because of the resurrection, it enables victory in these areas of our lives. And if you struggle with those things, there's hope, there's answers. But it also enables service. You know, victory through Jesus enables us to... Our vision statement for our church right now is to show Christ as indispensable to our community. FBC is not a matter of just coming here and like, oh, we're just so nice and warm and comfortable and this is awesome, you know. Our vision is to get out there, to show the love of Christ to our community. And we're attempting to do that. We have a Bible club down at Lincoln Community Center. We've had several volunteers at the Lincoln Community Center. We are involved. Last year we were involved in Hope Over Heroin. This year we want to be involved in Hope Over Heroin. There are several other ways in which we want to be involved in showing Christ as indispensable to our community. And it's because of the resurrection that enables us to do those things. We want to get excited about those things because we want to love on our community to God's honor and glory, to show Christ, because He is the only way of salvation. He is the resurrection and the life. You know, here at FBC, if you've been with us, you've heard me say this before. If you haven't been with us, I want you to hear this. We are beggars. People here at FBC, we are just simply beggars who have found food in Jesus. Spiritual food. We found hope in Jesus. We're just simply beggars. And we're like, oh, man, we found this. And you know what? We want all the other beggars out there, we want you to find this same food that we have. That's all it is. That's what we want. We want you to have that victory through Jesus just like we've experienced. And it's not because of who we are, it's because of who He is. So in closing, you have this in your notes. You either need victory or you need to live victoriously. In other words, you either need to surrender to God and salvation for victory. That's the surrender that we're talking about. Are you willing to surrender so that you can experience and know the victory? Many of you have. You know you have salvation through Jesus. If you don't, you need to surrender to Him. Many of you have. If you have, you need to live in light of the victory. You died to sin. You don't need to live in it any longer. And so God wants you to grow as His child to become more like Jesus. There's a song that's come out recently, and I just really like it. I love its message. And it says, it's a really good one. Teresa, help me out. What's the first? If you have pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom, saving, He's a prison-shaken Savior. If you have chains, He's a chain breaker. That's what we have in Jesus. There's power in the resurrection. There's victory in the resurrection. And we want that for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus. Thank you for the victory that we have in His resurrection. And I pray, Father, that you would draw every heart. Open eyes. Father, there are people here. There's no doubt in my mind. There are people here who need their chains broken. There are people here who have pain, who need their pain taken, who need freedom, who have lost their way. They need direction. God, I pray that you would shake our prisons and provide that deliverance that only you can give. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how about you here today? Do you need victory? If you need victory, the victory is found in Jesus and believing in Him and what He did for you. It's just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And place your faith and trust in Him. I just encourage everybody to fill out a communication card. And on that card, if you have questions about this, or you're not sure of this, and if it's personal, just check for pastors only. But put down there, I have questions about salvation, or I'd like to get saved, or I'm not sure I'm saved. And just jot that down. We're going to take an offering in just a little bit. Just place that card in the offering. And we'll be praying for you. We'll get with you. We want to help you. There's great help and hope through God and His Word. We want to help you with that. Many of you, if you've trusted Christ, you need to grow. Maybe you can put down there, I'm saved, but I need help. Or pray for me. Pray for my anger. Pray for my worry. Pray for my addiction. Whatever it may be, there's great hope. We want to help you. Again, put your card in the offering plate. But you know, that's why we take an offering. If you're our guest here, just put your card in there. But our regular givers, give faithfully. That's the message that we want people to know. Message of salvation that we've talked about here today. The message of the resurrection, the victory of resurrection.